Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local law enforcement official just returned from a 50-state summit on public safety in Washington, D.C. What did he learn? Let's go in-depth with Sheriff Jason Sandholt. So Jason, you just returned from Washington, D.C. You were at a meeting there. What was it all about?
Well, actually, it was a 50-state summit on public safety. It was put on by the Justice Center, which is the Council of State Governments. There was four of us from Iowa that went out to this. It was myself as the law enforcement representative as a sheriff, Senator Dan Dawson from Pottawatomie County, Dr. Jerome Greenfield from the Department of Corrections, he's a psychiatrist there, and then Jerry Bantruff, who's the director of the Department of Corrections.
Well, that's an esteemed group. How did you manage to get in with them going to Washington, D.C.?
I believe it came from the governor's office on recommendations. I think they were trying to choose a chief of police or a sheriff that were involved with the mental health side of things, also with the jails and prisons. And I was selected, I think, obviously as a sheriff because of my experience with the jails.
And so how was this funded?
It was all funded by the Justice Center, so there was no cost to the taxpayers of Marion County. They paid for our airfare and our hotels when we got out there, and they actually, I was very, very impressed because the Justice Center put in a lot of work in regards to packets. So when you have a law enforcement representative, a state legislator, the head of the Department of Corrections in each of these states, the mental health people that were there, each one of us in our four-person group was presented a packet that they went through that had a lot of the stats, statistics in regards to just Iowa. So we could focus on our breakout sessions on what are the issues in Iowa and how can we help fix them.
Okay, so what were the big issues, ideas that you came back with?
Well, I think a lot of times myself and in law enforcement, we're the go-getters. We're the throw people in prison. Stop crime, and which we should be. I mean, we're that law enforcement branch of it. But it really opened my eyes to how some other states are dealing with substance abuse issues, for an example. People with a heroin addiction, the first, second, third time, can keep going back to prison over and over and over again and really, truly, maybe never get the help they need. So there was medical assisted treatments that a lot of states are doing, and some are legislating medical assisted treatments. That's something new to me. I'm not real familiar with the medical assisted side of things, but it was very interesting how they could reduce numbers of the recidivism rates in these prisons in other states by using that treatment.
So people going back to prison over and over again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That recidivism rate is that repeat offenders. And there's a lot of stats that showed, that if you can keep somebody from going back to prison for a year's time, it almost like cuts the risk in half. So you don't see that person that's been out of prison for 5, 6, 7, 8 years going back near as often as you do that person in the first year.
So what are some other states doing to stop people from returning to prison?
Well, I think a lot of the states are looking outside the box. Looking at the medical aided treatments like I talked about. They're looking at how can they wrap support around that person when they leave prison and to make sure that within that first year, they're getting the support and the help they need, whether it be through the local communities or whether it be through the state. And I think that I don't want you to think that in Iowa we do terrible things and that we're so far behind, because there's a lot of great things we're doing in Iowa. But it really opened my eyes to multiple different approaches.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sheriff Jason Sandholt. If you don't have people in prison so long, then we save the taxpayer money because we're not having to pay for those prisoners, and then hopefully those people become you know, law-abiding citizens and contributors to society, so everybody benefits.
Exactly. In reality, probably 95% of the people that go to prison are going to be getting out of prison. Those are those facts. So we have to look at when that person gets out of prison, those 95%, what are we going to do to help them? How are we going to make them a better citizen in our local community? And I think a lot of times people feel like they have no options when they get out of prison. I mean, employment, for an example. There's a lot of different states that are, and I was doing it also, but looking at trades while in prison and giving them skill sets to be a welder, to be an electrician, to if what better audience do you have to put through a journeyman's trade or something, a plumbing electrician or something, than a captive audience in a prison? Give them those tool sets so when they come back out, they can get a job and they can be productive citizens.
I just presume that we were doing that, we're not?
We are. I was leading the pack in regards to the trade side of things and the journeyman, but it's something that we really have to expand upon. It's something that I truly feel that I don't want people to think I'm soft on crime, because I'm not. I truly believe people who commit crimes of burglary, theft, violent crimes, rape, murder, different things, need to go to prison for a long, long time. Well, when you only have X number of beds, to me, it's not emptying the prisons, it's keeping people in prison that truly need to be there longer. You and I have had a lot of conversations about truth and sentencing and my frustrations on how here over the radio in regards to somebody that is getting sentenced to 30 years in prison for breaking into somebody's house and beating up an old lady and taking her medicine or whatever it may be. And in reality, they're out in 4 years instead of 30. That really upsets me. I mean, stuff like that is that turnaround, in to my opinion, is wrong. Well, if you only have X number of beds and certain numbers of space, would I rather have that person do three times the amount of time they're doing in prison, or have the person that's taking up that bed be a heroin addict or a meth addict and really, I mean, was only hurting themselves versus someone else?
Okay, and so I see in the literature that you've shown me is that there's some alternative drug programs that some states are trying.
Yeah, there's actually Arizona's introduced legislation and passed legislation in regards to a program where instead of, let's just use the example like we were talking about the heroin addict. So someone's a heroin addict, they get caught with heroin one, two, three times. What this legislation does is it gives the courts the authority to send them through a medical aided treatment program. So I don't remember the name of the drug, and I probably shouldn't give just a shout out to one name here versus many, but what that drug does is it's an opiate blocker. So it helps that person with that addiction. Now, if the person chooses, I mean, nope, I don't want to do that, the answer is like, well, here's your choice, go to prison. But what they found is most people want, I mean, to fix their addiction. So they're going through this program. Let's say it's a 90-day, 120-day program. The success rate, it's an early program, but the success rate is showing that it's probably going to be very beneficial because it keeps that person from taking up that space in the prison, but yet truly gives them the help they need.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sheriff Jason Sandholt. So I presume that there was some mental health component of this training at this meeting.
Very much so. Anytime when you talk about substance abuse and mental health, they're intertwined. And I think that side of things, when you look at how mental health is addressed across the states, we obviously we're going through a big revamp here of mental health in Iowa, which I think's overdue.
As a person that watches the news and pays attention to it, I don't see a revamp. I see a pulling it apart. I don't see people fixing it, are they?
Yeah, they are. There's actually, later today, I'm going to a meeting up in Des Moines to talk about mental health issues and how we can improve it for those families. The last thing I want is for my jail to be the catch-all for mental health or substance abuse people. That's not getting the help they need. We need to get them the mental health help out in the field. With the groups that specialize in, whether it be the mental health side or substance abuse. Even here locally, we're meeting and talking about it with public health, with the church leaders, with media, and talking about how can we improve things in regards to substance abuse here in Marion County and the mental health side of things.
Sure, I understand that, and maybe I misspoke a little bit. I see what we're doing it locally, but I don't see a lot of courage in the legislature to help with funding of some of the things that need to be done.
I truly believe that a lot of it is such a big task that a lot of people are scared of it. I truly think it's not that people don't want to fix for it, it's they don't know where to fix it. Even on the state work groups that I sit on, we'll go into meetings with, 20 or 30 professionals into mental health and talk about mental health and issues that are there. Well, it's such a large topic. Do you talk about, the preventative side of it when somebody's in eighth grade? Or do you talk about it that, oh my goodness, this person has an intellectual disability that they're going to need care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of their lives, and they're 22. Or do you talk about that person at 3 o'clock in the morning that I usually deal with that's homicidal, suicidal, whatever it may be, usually suicidal, that's reaching out and needs the help? When we take that person to the local ER, no dig against the ER doctors, but they don't have the experience and the knowledge to sit there. So we take this person with a mental health issue to the local emergency room. They sit there waiting to see somebody on maybe telepsych. That person on telepsych talks to them for 10 or 15 minutes and says, yep, you need inpatient care. We're going to send you to a hospital to get you that help. Well, they may sit there for another 8 hours, 16 hours, day, 2 days, waiting for a bed and a facility for that person to go to. All of a sudden, that facility comes up, and let's say it's in Davenport or Sioux City. We then drive that person 16 hours after sitting in an emergency room up to that facility. They're there for maybe a 72-hour evaluation. We drive up, we pick them up, back up, bring them back for their hearing. That's a waste of taxpayer money, and it's not getting that person the help they truly need.
Well, it's good to hear that you're optimistic about the future for mental health in Iowa. What do you think that you learned from this conference that you can work with the appropriate people and initiate to bring about some positive change in Marion County, in the next year or two?
I think dealing with Senator Sinclair and Representative Hartzell, I think talking to them and even with Representative Vanderlinden and on the Pell area and Senator Rosenboom, if I talk to the four of them and say, you know what, these are things that even as the hardcore Marion County sheriff, that I see could be beneficial. It could increase sentences for those people that need it and decrease it for those substance abuse orders. I think we can make it better for the state.
Okay. Well, it sounds like some of this stuff needs to be done at the national level.
Yeah, I think when we were out there, we were met with Senator Grassley's staff. He was tied up on the tax issues there last week and wasn't able to meet with us. But he's well aware of the substance abuse and the mental health side of things also. And it's hard, in my opinion, whether it be the federal government or the state government, a lot of times they need to give the architectural design of maybe what's working in other states or what's working in other areas, but it needs to be up to the locals to implement it and make it work for them. It's very hard when those state mandates come down to implement something that we don't have the funding to do. So maybe they're the purse strings at the state level or the national level, but the locals have to have input and buy into it.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I just not to give up on the mental health side of things or substance abuse. It's something where like I said earlier, if somebody's breaking into somebody's house and stealing something, I want them sent to prison. And I want them sent to prison for a long time. Burglaries, thefts, those things like that. Drug dealers. I want to hammer them, but I also need to be realistic on whether it be jail space, which is taxpayer money, whether it be prison space, which is state money, on how can we help those people that are just a user? How can we help those people that have a mental illness or mental health needs that instead of just locking them up and throwing away the key and not dealing with the issues, we need to deal with the issues up front, very directly, and take care of it so I'm not dealing with them in my jail down the road.
Because they're not going to get the help they need in your jail.
No, our staff, we have mental health training and things, but we're not psychiatrists. We're not psychologists. We can do the little front end side of it. But let me ask you this. I throw you into my jail. How willing are you wanting to participate in getting yourself better when it's not the best place in the world? I mean, we do it's not one of our nice hotels that we have here in Marion County. It's the jail. And I want it to be that way. I don't want people to say, "Hey, man, I sure would love to go back to jail again." I want people to say, "No, when I was at the Marion County Jail, that was a tough time. We treat people with respect, with dignity, but I don't want them to want to come back and visit us. I want them to get the help they need with trained professionals in those areas."
Thanks to Sheriff Jason Sandholt for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.